Time now, though, to look at another issue around the pandemic, another thing to worry about. Businesses and local councils are being warned of the heightened risks of financial crime in a shrinking economy and with cases of fraud on the rise. According to Deloitte's Australasian 2020 Bribery and Corruption Report, there's been a significant jump in the detection of fraud since its last survey in 2017. In its latest poll, 35% of respondents reported a bribery or corruption incident in the past 5 years, compared to 20% in 2017 and 17% of those occurred within the last 12 months. Lorinda Kelly was the lead partner preparing the report from the New Zealand perspective. She warns that during a period of unique uncertainty, bribery and corruption may become more attractive to struggling organisations and their executives. Tēnā koe, Lorinda.
Kia ora, Lynn.
It's interesting to talk about this, isn't it? Because the world has changed. So if things were noticed in that report, that was pre what's happening now. How does this uncertainty that we have at the moment influence the risk of bribery and corruption?
Yeah, that's right, Lynn. It was done at the end of last year. And so now, obviously, the risks are increased. And the reason being that there is obviously pressures for a lot of people that they haven't had previously, financial pressures primarily, but also other social pressures that they'll be facing. There'll also be a change in a lot of ways that businesses are working at the moment, and sometimes there can be a bit of a crisis mentality when we have to drop everything and achieve certain outcomes due to the crisis. And that can sometimes mean that controls that are normally in place are overridden or put to one side. So that all enhances the already existing risk of bribery and corruption and other financial crime.
How would you characterise actually what we were just talking about in the previous conversation? Employers who, and they'll know this is illegal, make staff redundant and yet claim the wage subsidy. I mean, there've been some who are almost bragging about doing this. Does that come under fraud and corruption in your books?
Look, I wouldn't do a legal analysis, but certainly underlying most financial crime is an integrity issue, and that's where things can start to go wrong in an organisation. And certainly that kind of behaviour is at the very least poor example of integrity. So I would say that if they don't already have some major issues, that is not a good indicator for their future.
And the report indicated that financial crime will always increase during a downturn. Well, we're now, you know, using the R word that we kind of tiptoe around, don't we, the future, the economic recession. So there's going to be a lot of stress coming up. So do we need to be extra vigilant?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've been working with quite a few clients just recently around how they can do that. Some of them are choosing to do quite a quick sort of targeted risk assessment specifically around the risks that are coming out of the response to the current situation, and that's enabling them to get better visibility of where they need to put extra processes or controls in place. And just, yeah, it's also a good time to, as I said, enhance that culture within an organisation. So there will be a lot of people feeling quite uncertain, and you need to be really, the leaders of organisations need to really be focusing on the values that they have and reinforcing those with staff at this time so that people know what is the right behaviour and expect that of their colleagues as well.
Is it also important, though, that there are prosecutions? There's carrot and stick, isn't there? And are both equally important?
Yeah, well, yes, it's always important. And certainly the Serious Fraud Office for quite a few years now has really focused on corruption as being a key area that they are prosecuting, and they've lowered their sort of monetary threshold in relation to corruption. In fact, just the other day it was announced the sentencing of an Auckland Council employee who received, I believe, a $7,500 kickback. I mean, on the face of it, that might not sound like serious fraud, but certainly there's more than the monetary value that is taken into consideration. And our global reputation as well for New Zealand. So yes, there always has to be prosecution, and I think that is a focus of our police and Serious Fraud Office in particular.
Yes, it was interesting to see that undeclared conflicts of interest was a top corruption concern raised by those you spoke to in the report. How prevalent is it? And is sometimes we'll hear that conflict of interest was considered, you know, they think about it and then they think hard about it and then they don't think there is a conflict of interest because they are, you know, morally sound people. You know what I mean? Mm. It's quite tricky, this, I think.
Yeah, it is. And I was also interested to see that was the top risk perceived by our respondents, because it's certainly an increasing issue that I'm seeing amongst organisations that I work with as well. So you're right, it's firstly that, well, do I even need to disclose it? And really, you shouldn't be the one trying to judge your own conflict or potential conflict, because by the very nature of it, you're not really the best person to be determining yourself whether or not you do have a conflict. So if in doubt, you should disclose it. But what I also see is it gets disclosed and then it doesn't get managed. So regardless of there being a potential conflict, that person may still be involved in some way with dealing with that relationship. So you may end up seeing that there is still some degree of influence by the person who's disclosed the conflict. And then it can be even worse for the organisation if they don't manage a conflict that everyone is aware of.
Were there differences between the private sector and the public sector in your survey?
Yeah, there were. We did break it down. And one of the most interesting differences is that there was a much higher perception of risk of corruption in the public sector, in that 76% of our public sector respondents said that, yes, there was a risk, compared to only 66% of private sector. Yet, contrasting that, the private sector were much more likely to have done a risk assessment and identified what their risks were. So private sector respondents, 48% had conducted a risk assessment versus only 37% of our public sector respondents. So, yeah, there's a perceived risk in the public sector, but not necessarily acting on that risk.
Are tip-offs, you might say whistleblowers, still the main mechanism for discovering bribery and corruption?
Yeah, you do find that seems to be consistent in just about any survey that gets done to do with any type of fraud or corruption. And certainly the respondents that came back, obviously there was more than one incident that some of them were reporting on, but yeah, 51% said that there had been detection through a confidential reporting mechanism.
What about things like kickbacks? Pretty hard to identify.
Yeah, they are. And by the very nature of them, they're outside the reporting financial system of an organisation. But that doesn't mean it's not possible to identify them. And, you know, the behaviour of people who consider that it's acceptable to be receiving or paying kickbacks can often be observed in other things that they're doing, and that's where you really need your employees to be aware of what warning signs are and looking out for people who are flouting the values of an organisation and not representing the culture that you want to have. And I guess that's where the tip-offs can come into it, or obviously other reporting mechanisms as well.
This is probably the trickiest question I can ask you. I'm sorry, Lorinda, I warn you that in advance. But if we were to be talking in a year's time or 2 years' time about the survey, do you anticipate that there will be more instances of fraud, bribery, corruption, kickbacks by the nature of what our economy is going through and will continue to go through for some time?
Yeah, look, I'd like to think not, but realistically, Yes, and the thing with fraud and corruption as well is that you can never really measure how many incidents occur because a lot of them are not detected or are not detected in a timely way. And the other thing that can happen when economic times are tough is that things rise to the surface, the tide goes out, as it were, and things do become more obvious. So not only is there likely to be an increase in incidences due to the situations that people are finding themselves in, but it's also more likely that those sorts of things will come to the surface, and that can be things that were going on before the pandemic, before any kind of economic crisis came about. You know, Bernie Madoff is a classic example of that, probably the most well-known and largest one, but I'm not necessarily talking about that. But there will be things that will come to the surface, and inevitably there will be some poor decision-making that goes on in the coming months.
We'll talk again, Lorinda. Thank you. Lorinda Kelly from Deloitte.